my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can feel free to comment. I may or may not be able to get back to you. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you'd like to leave a comment, you can leave a comment down here below if you're watching on Facebook Live, or you can also send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. It just keeps repeating itself because it just keeps going up and up and up. Are you paying attention yet? How's that bike looking right now? Currently, $4.45 nationally for regular gasoline and $5.60 for diesel. So where's your cutoff point? That's what I want to know. What point will you get to where you're going to go, you know what, I can ride my bike. I'm just going to start riding my bike a little bit more and driving my car a little bit less, and I'm not going to contribute to this madness that's going on right here. What do you think? And we'll talk a little bit more about this in the show. Actually, what we're going to talk a little more in the show is Waymo. So Waymo is that, it's the Google self-driving car company that is owned by Alphabet. It's facing criticism after admitting its driverless taxis stop in bike lanes to pick up and drop off passengers. And they don't seem to care about the health and safety of cyclists. That is a problem, folks. Driverless cars. How about just, you know, no more drivers in cars? How about that idea? There you go. All right, we are going to move on. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the show. And a big shout out to my folks down here at the Windham Area Interfaith Ministries here in Willimantic, Connecticut. They are looking for bicycles, and so if you have an old bike that you want to contribute to them, something that could be repurposed for someone who needs a bike for transportation, they are actively looking for bicycles, and they would love it if you could contact them and arrange a drop-off of some sort so you can get your old bicycle to them. They'll fix it up. They've got volunteers there that are working on that, and they'll fix it all up for the next owner of said bicycle. And it's a great way to get people who can't afford a bicycle to get them some inexpensive transportation and ability to get around. So if you have a bike you want to get rid of, this is a great organization to contact. It's Windham Area Interfaith Ministries, Willimantic, Connecticut. You can, of course, Google it, and you'll have all the contact information you need to get a hold of those folks. Okay. Let's say, so I'm going to add into the positive side, reduce your commute cost by 50% or more is achievable by replacing car trips with a bicycle. It's a good thing, right? Save thousands annually on gas, maintenance, insurance, and parking. Key strategies include replacing short car trips with biking, utilizing you can actually get something called pay-per-mile insurance. I looked into it. It's a little bit less expensive than your regular insurance is, so you can save a little bit of money. It's generally designed for people who are traveling 10,000 miles or less with a motorized vehicle. But there is a way of just using insurance when you need it. It's kind of a cool thing. And then, of course, you can use your bike all those other times. So save a little money on insurance, save a little money on gas, save a little money on wear and tear on a motorized vehicle. All sounds good to me. Sounds great. Okay. Also, on a positive side, Paul Cézas, the phenom out of France, 19-year-old rider who was the only one to give Tadej Pogačar a fair shake at the last race? Well, not really, but, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later on. But anyway, he has confirmed that he is going to be riding the 2026 Tour de France at age 19. Remember, Tadej Pogačar did it at age 20 and won the Tour de France at age 20. So interesting things going on. And in the meantime, Tadej Pogačar recently competed with all of the top riders in the Tour de Romandy, and he's smoking, folks. That's all I can tell you. And we got the Giro coming, so we can hardly wait. We may talk about that a little bit later in the show if I have time. One other thing I want to bring up, because it is May right now, and May is National Bike Month. And National Bike Month is sponsored by the League of American Bicyclists, promoting the health, environment, and community benefits of cycling. Throughout May, cyclists can participate in events like National Ride Your Bike Day and Bike to Work Week, which is May 11th through the 17th. That's coming up real, real soon, folks. If you have a local chapter of your bike walk in your state, you might check in with them and see if they have a Bike to Work Week program or some sort of celebration at your state capital. It's kind of a cool thing. I've participated in the past. I even rode my bike to work one day for Bike to Work Day and called on all my dealers in the greater Hartford and surrounding area and totaled out. I think by the time I got home, I had 102 miles on my legs. And it was a long day in the saddle, carrying around a laptop computer and biking to work. So it can be done. And that's kind of a cool thing. So anyway, keep your eyes on that. And also the other thing I want you to keep your eyes on too is the 20th of May during, this is weird because it says here bicycle, Bike to Work Week is May 11th through the 17th. And I believe the 20th, which would be, I'll have to double check my calendar here, is the Ride of Silence. And the Ride of Silence, let me see if I got that down here on my list. The Ride of Silence, the International Ride of Silence, is May 20th at 7 p.m. worldwide. And that we will also be hosting a chapter of the Ride of Silence here in Storrs, Connecticut, starting and finishing at the Mansfield Town Hall and Community Center parking lot, overflow parking at E.O. Smith High School. So it is not a long ride. It is not a noisy ride because it is the Ride of Silence, where we silently ride together in memory of those who have been hit by cars while riding their bikes or hit and lost their lives while riding their bikes by cars. So anyway, that is coming up, and that's all part of May is National Bike Month, so we've got lots of stuff going on here. All good stuff. Anyway, let's go back here to the next thing on my list, which is the Mechanical Minute and bike tips. Yeah, I've been talking about the possibility of, and I didn't have much to talk to you guys about last week, but I have been talking to you about the possibility of converting a bike over to an e-bike so I could have a more commutable type of bicycle. My friend Dave has one of these. His isn't a conversion, it's an actual e-bike, but that came already set up. But he's got a rack on it, he's got fenders on it, he's got, you know, it's just a classic, perfect machine for, you know, riding your bicycle to work and back, or running errands, or going to the grocery store, or even he used it. I went to a Bike Mansfield meeting, the last one that we had, our local group, and that's in the evening, and he rode his bike there, and he's got lights all over it, and then rode his bike back home, and it was late. It was like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and he was able to do that because he had this e-bike that he can go almost anywhere with. So it's kind of cool. I'm looking to do the same thing. The battery arrived today. So the battery's here, the motor is 2 days away, and I will be talking more in the future about e-bike conversions And what you have to do if you are interested in going that direction. So just to give you an idea on e-bike conversions, there's a few different ways you can do this. You can do it with a hub motor, which would mean that the motor would actually be built into the wheel. I have a couple of options there. You can do a front wheel or you do a rear wheel. The only issue with the hub drive motor is the fact that they are a little bit more complicated when it comes to getting a flat tire. And we know that if you ride a bike, you're going to get a flat tire at some point. So there are things that are, the hub motor may be a little bit easier to install than a mid drive motor, but then there are the mid drive motors, which offer more torque and efficiency for climbing. And seeing as I live in a place that we average 65 feet per mile, I have decided that I am going with a mid-drive motor because I want to be able to have the torque and the power to get up some of the steeper hills, especially when I'm riding into the community center first thing in the morning to go teach my classes. It would be super helpful to have something with a little more oomph to it to get up over the, yes, folks, the 100 feet per mile to commute to my job up and at the community center. Average around here is 65, but that ride is 100 feet per mile. If you are at all aware of what 100 feet a mile is all about, or even 65 feet a mile is all about, it's hilly. It's really, really hard, and you're always going to be encountering something large in front of you. We have sort of gotten used to it out here, and that's what we do. That's how we ride. I basically call it interval training every day because you can't avoid it. You're going to hit a hill, and the hills can be rough. I know we have friends that come out from flatter areas, and they ride here, and they go, oh my God, it is so hilly there. But, you know, you adapt just like you would anywhere you go. If you live in a really hot place, you adapt to the heat. If you live in a really cold place, you adapt to the cold. But that's all part of riding your bike. So anyway, that's I have chosen a mid-drive, and you can get kits for them. You got to make sure you have the bottom bracket size correct if you're doing a mid-drive unit. You got to make sure you have the wheel size correct for the axle spacing if you're doing a motor on a wheel. So that's another thing to do. And you know, you can basically the installations can be difficult if you're not familiar and friendly with a bike. If you're thinking of going to your local bike shop with a kit that you purchased online, I would do that very, very carefully because they may not be super supportive of that sort of thing. If you think you can do it yourself, then that's a great thing. I'm going to do it myself. I spent 44 years in the bicycle industry. I wrenched bikes the entire time I was there. Even when I was selling bikes, I was still working on weekends wrenching bikes for people and you know, working sales and all that. So I feel relatively comfortable with this. If you are feeling like it's a questionable thing and gee, can I do this or not, I would strongly suggest going to YouTube and watching a couple of videos and watch the people that are doing this, and you might look at it and go, there's no way I can do this myself. Or you may look at it and go, you know what, that doesn't seem much harder than replacing the bottom bracket on my bike. So depending on your level of expertise and the tools that you have in your garage slash shed slash basement, wherever it is that you work on your bike, you can probably, I think you can probably do this yourself. I will have words of wisdom as the weeks go on, because I'm sure there will be some curse words that will be coming out of my garage when I'm working on this, but I do expect it to go fairly easy. So we're just going to have to see. That's all. We're just going to have to see. You can get, if you go to a wheel type of conversion, the easiest way to do it would be a front wheel, but of course that's going to feel a little different having the power up there in the front and all. But it is super easy that way because you can get a 700C wheel or you can get a 26-inch wheel. Excuse me. We're in pollen season here. And, you know, that's a pretty much a, you know, slide it in, plug it in and go type situation. So you can also, if you're using two different styles of e-bike conversions, like you have a mid-drive bottom bracket centered motor, and then you want to have another, like a front wheel. I'm actually looking at the possibility of a front motor that on a 700C wheel that could go on my tandem, because when I am riding on the tandem, the Best Buddies ride is coming up, it's somewhat difficult for me to get up some of the hills because the rider I have on the back of the tandem is not as fit as I would like them to be, but you know, I'm not as fit as I would like me to be either. So therefore, a motor on the front of the tandem may be in my future. And of course, you can, if you pair up the motors and the batteries correctly, then you'll be able to use the same battery from one bike to another bike. So kind of a cool thing. And you got to understand that there are some limitations with conversion kits. They may have a slightly higher center of gravity and require more frequent maintenance compared to a factory built e-bike. But, you know, that's basically what you're looking at. So I am putting on a very popular Chinese built motor built by a company called Bafang. And it's known as one of the most powerful and reliable mid-drive systems. And that is, that's what I'm going to be using on my bike. And I have done a lot of research on this, and it does seem to be about the best buy for the money. There are others out there. There's German made Bosch motors, which are very, very nice too. There's others out there too. I think Yamaha uses a different motor system on their bikes. I'm not sure if it's the same one that Specialized uses on their bikes, but I believe it might be. And, you know, they're all different, but the same in so many ways. So there are also some very strange conversion systems out there that I have seen, including a motor that sets on the rear tire and just pushes on the tire. Seems like it was going to wear that rear tire out super quick if you do something like that. I'm not as thrilled about that idea. But, you know, you kind of have to look at it by what kind of range it has and what kind of power it has. If you live in a relatively flat area, you don't need as much power. So you can run a smaller size motor, which may give you some extra miles because of that, because you'll be riding on a flat road and that flat road surface is going to make it easier for you to assist the motor, or only having the motor to assist you when necessary. So you get extra mileage out of your battery. But they range all over the place. And the recommendations that I have learned about while making this decision to come up with an e-bike that will work in my area was to get a hold of one of the most powerful motors I could because of the hills. And that is the major recommendation. If you're going to be in a really hilly area, you want to don't go lightweight on the wattage of the motor. You want to go to a fairly heavy wattage motor. I chose a 750 watt motor. They do make 1,000 watt motors. I thought that was probably overkill. I'll learn. I'll let you know. So I'm going to keep everybody in communication as far as this goes over the next few weeks as I make the conversion and give you my experience of taking an e-bike motor and placing it onto a fairly nice, the bike I have is a fairly nice mid to upper range hybrid bicycle that it does have a shock on the front, although you can lock it out, which is kind of nice. And it's a fairly high quality bike. So I'm interested to see how it works. There's obviously some changes you have to make when you go to a motor. And if you had a triple crank set on that bike because it was set up for hybrid use, you're going to go down to a single chainring. But of course, you're going to have a motor to help you when you get into the tough spots. And I will be challenging that motor on a couple of decent climbs that I have to get up to the community center. In one direction, I've got two different options to go up there. One of them has an 11 to 12% grade on it, which is a pretty chunky little grade when you're just getting out first thing in the morning and you're only 2 miles into your ride. And the other option ranges between 8 and 11% grade. So they're both, it's just a big hill. If you're going to ride up to Storrs, go Huskies, go riding up the Yukon. It's a lot of work, and there's not a lot of easy ways to get there. So you just have to kind of choose your poison and go for it. So I'm excited. I can't wait to do this. This should be a really interesting thing. I would say that you want to stay away from the lesser known brands that may be out there, although they may be currently rated fairly high. I like staying with the company. Befang is huge. They have an enormous factory. They've been doing this for a long time, and they've got a lot of options. I just think that everything I've read as far as warranties and all that, they seem really good. So I'll let you know, because I'm making the dive into the e-bike world, and I'm diving into the deep end. So I'm going with something pretty big as far as that goes. There's a lot of comparisons out there. If you look online, if you're looking for comparisons to different conversion kits, and you'll see obviously different ways that you can go about this sort of thing. If this is completely foreign to you and you are thinking, I'm not getting myself involved in this at all, you know, an already existing e-bike, one that already has a motor on it that has been designed and built around that, is probably a better way to go. It might cost you a little bit more money, but it might also create a little less frustration in the long run. I tend to dive into things that give me lots of frustration and then try to figure it out, because that's the mechanic in me, and that's the way it is. So anyway, that's what I've got for my mechanical minute for today. I am going to be building myself my very first high-powered e-bike. Should be fun. Can't wait. So let's go on into the show here and talk a little bit more. Let's see here. May is bike month. Okay, so this is it's National Bike Month, as stated by the League of American Bicyclists, and it promotes the health and environment and community benefits of cycling. It's all really, it's a really, really good thing. Unfortunately, you know, it's weird, because you really have to go looking for the Ride of Silence. But we have been doing, Kevin Mahan and I have been putting on a Ride of Silence now for a number of years. And I think it's an important event. I wish I could get more people to show up. If you're listening to this and you're local, please show up. It works a lot better when we have a big crowd of people than when we only have a handful of people to show up. What we will do is we will completely fill the road. It is kind of a radical sort of thing to do, but that's how it makes impact, because we will completely block the traffic. Now, we also have assistance with this, and the assistance is that we have the local Yukon Police Department, who is actively participating with us on this event. They think it's a great idea. It is a week after the students have graduated, which is coming up this weekend. So maybe a week or two after they've graduated. So we don't have as many students participating in it, but We do hopefully get lots of local people, and I'm working on some social media to get more of a draw out of our state capital area, the center of the state, and other parts of the state of Connecticut, to draw people in to make a point here, because it's much more effective when we've got a lot of people on the roads, and it is very, very, very safe. I will tell you that right now, because we are protected by police cars, and our traffic is directed by the police cars. So they pretty much clear the road for us, and we do ride on a major state highway for a short period of time, which I'm sure is frustrating for the cars, but we're trying to make a point here, and hopefully people will start to understand it and get it. You know, we need to share the road. All of us need to share both directions, you know, really is a big, big thing. So according to the League of American Bicyclists, the National Ride a Bike Day was Sunday, May 3rd, which was this past weekend. I think that you can ride any day you want in May to celebrate National Bike Month, or, you know, the National Ride Month. Bike to Work Week, according to this, is the 11th through the 17th, and Bike to Work Day is Friday, May 15th, 2026. So if you, like I said, check with your local organizations, see what they have planned. A lot of the big state bike walk organizations have events wrapped around this. I do not know what's going on with Bike Walk Connecticut. If there's anyone out there that's listening to this podcast or radio show, if they could please just reach out and contact me and let me know what the plans might be in that direction, it would be great to know, because it's a statement, and it's a great, great statement. So it's just something that I would love to see it promoted even more. But it's this is what we have. May is Bike Month. There's even a website that says here mayisbikemonth.com. May is Bike Month. This is a California site. That's why. So this is from Northern California. Sacramento area bicycle advocates, and they have lots of things going on here to celebrate their regional bike month, including 249 workplaces that are participating. This is 5,000 people, 967 new riders. Just a lot of activities going on. Good old California. You know, California is always one step ahead of everybody else, it seems like, when it comes to bicycles and bicycle advocacy. So that's a really, really cool thing. And there's a bunch of other things. We Bike. Here's another site called WeBikeLane.org. And they also have a site where May is Bike Month. And if you're looking for ideas, you can go to any of these sites. You can see exactly what they've got for ideas, and maybe even prizes to get people more involved. It's kind of a cool thing. This one is, I believe, out of Oregon. So almost every state will have something like this. And some obviously are way more organized than the others are, but that's what you got. So anyway, May is Bike Month. Let's remember that. I will keep mentioning it through the month of May, because I think it's very important. It's something that we should all be paying attention to. Let's move on to Waymo. So if you don't know what Waymo is, just so you know, Waymo is a self-driving car company. It's owned by Google's parent Alphabet Incorporated. It's facing criticism after admitting its driverless taxis stop in bike lanes to pick up and drop off passengers, and they don't seem to care about the health and safety of bicycles. Oof, that's not good. So it's bad enough when we have a human driving a car who is obnoxiously ignoring the health and safety and well-being of a cyclist, but now we have humanless cars that are doing the same thing. Now, there's something that we need to talk about. Is a driverless car able to perceive that there is a bicycle in front of them or that they're in a bike lane? Good question. I am dying to know the answer to that. If anyone out there is real involved in these self-driving driverless cars, send me over some information because I am really interested in seeing it. Now, straight from Street's blog, there's lots of information about this. That's kind of this is actually from Momentum, which is a Canadian site, but they report on North America, so there's an awful lot of U.S. stuff in here too. There's an article in Street's blog. The company said it's normal practice. It's what customers expect, but cycling advocates argue that it's unsafe and often against traffic rules. Christopher White, the executive director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition, explained in the article that Waymo has indicated that it's requiring its vehicles to fully respect bike lanes. It's too high of a bar, quote unquote, for real. And that entering bike lanes is considered a normal practice, quote unquote, expected by customers. Back in 2023, the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition opposed a decision by regulators to allow expanded robo-taxi service from Waymo and Cruise in San Francisco, arguing that the companies have not yet demonstrated a safe operation. The group cited numerous reported incidents involving autonomous vehicles obstructing emergency responders, disrupting transit, and creating hazards for people walking and cycling, also criticizing limited collision data. Beyond safety concerns, the coalition warned that adding more vehicles to already congested streets undermines its efforts to promote bicycling and public transport and raised equity questions and about the access and funding. So anyway, Waymo and cyclists, Waymo has recently begun rolling out its vehicles in London, and they're currently operating with a safety driver while the company prepares for a fully driverless launch pending government approval. The company says its cars use a mix of sensors and software to understand their surroundings and to react in real time, and that they are designed to recognize cyclists and drive cautiously around them. Well, there's a partial answer. Question is, does it work? A Waymo blog posted highlights of how its autonomous vehicles are designed to safely coexist with cyclists, emphasizing that rising cycling activity and ongoing road risks make safety a priority. The company says its self-driving system can recognize different types of bikes, interpret hand signals, and predict cyclist behavior, allowing vehicles to slow down, give space, and avoid aggressive passing. It does not mention cycling infrastructures such as bike lanes or bike boxes. You know, boxes are those big green boxes you see in cities where the cyclist has a safety zone that they can go over into if they're making a left-hand turn across traffic. So anyway, we don't know what they can see with these cars. That is the big question. It is a driverless car, so how are they seeing where they're going? How are they doing it other than GPS? Good question, huh? I would say that the technology could probably use a little bit more updating, and I'd really like to see some serious testing before this happens. But anyway, that's what's going on with driverless car company Waymo, and are they going to be blocking the bike lanes, or are they going to be respectful to cyclists? Good question. We're always watching very carefully to see what's going to happen there. So now we're going to move on to Santa Monica, California. And they kicked off Bike Month, as it is Bike Month, by starting an automated bike lane enforcement. The first the state's first AI bike lane enforcement goes live. Cool, huh? So what does that mean? Well, it means the city of Santa Monica will begin automated enforcement of vehicles parked illegally in bike lanes as of May 1st, making a first in California effort to use camera technology mounted on parking enforcement vehicles to keep bike lanes clear. The new automated bike lane enforcement program operating in partnership with Hayden AI builds on a pilot that identified nearly 1,700 violations in just 6 weeks, underscoring how frequently bike lanes are blocked and the risks it creates for cyclists. Under ABLE, front-facing, that's automated bike lane enforcement, front-facing cameras installed on city vehicles will detect and record violations as they occur. So city vehicles, to clarify that, we're talking about city buses, transportation services, that sort of thing. The buses, I think, are the greatest weapon against this because they can see, they're on the road all the time, making stops in and out of traffic all the time. So they're going to be able to see vehicles that are parked in not only bike lanes, but also bus stops, another issue that happens. And, you know, because people who drive cars are just, I'm sorry, I'm going to make a grand statement here, often obnoxious. For the first 60 days, vehicle owners will receive a warning notice by mail with a $93 citation set to begin July 1st. The city officials say the goal is to change driver behavior and improve safety by preventing situations where cyclists are forced into traffic lanes. This initiative will bolster our growing network of bicycling infrastructure, enhance user comfort, and improve compliance with regulations intended to keep everyone safe on our roads, Santa Monica Senior Transportation Planner Trevor Thomas said. The effort expands Santa Monica's existing automated bus lane enforcement program, which has already reduced violations significantly. Officials report a 67% drop in bus violations and a 40% drop in bus stops since the program launched. See, they park in the bus stops too. People, if you're driving a car, you have to take some responsibility. Sorry. Hayden AI CEO Marty Beard emphasized the broader benefits. Keeping bike lanes clear of illegally parked vehicles not only keeps cyclists safe, but it improves the accessibility for people with disabilities who rely on power chairs and motorized scooters. It also encourages more people to ride bikes, getting cars off the road as a result. Ta-da! It takes a Take the Friendly Road, a newsletter Santa Monica DOT stated that the program represents a major step towards safer, more reliable streets, reinforcing Santa Monica's commitment to sustainable multimodal transportation for residents and visitors alike. Hayden AI and Santa Monica have already been partnering on the city's automated bus lane and bus stop enforcement, which uses the camera systems mounted on their big blue bus vehicles to detect cars illegally blocking bus lanes and stops. Like the bike lane system, the technology automatically captures images of violators, such as vehicles parked in bus lanes or bus stops, and it generates evidence that is reviewed by city staff before citations are issued. I like this. I'm sorry. I'm not a big brother is watching you kind of guy, but in this case, it kind of makes sense. So this is a good thing. And I think that, you know, this is where technology is kind of heading in the right direction. Driverless cars, though. I'm still worried about the driverless taxi thing. And also, I reported a few weeks back about the delivery systems that were using the bike lanes to send out their little robots to deliver. We don't like that either. That's not your place, folks. You don't belong in the bike lane. Unless you are a bicycle making that delivery, in which case you do belong in that bike lane. But anyway, that's just another story and another gripe for another time, right? So let's give a big tip of the cycling cap to Santa Monica for paying attention and doing some really good things here. And, you know, taking care of those of us that are in bike lanes. Now, I will keep my eyes on this just to see, because this could be, as it grows and as it happens more, this could be a really good program to watch, because it may be used as a, you know, as an example for other cities across the country, which would be really, really good. Let's see, what else do we have here on Bicycle Talk today? I was going to talk just a little bit about the Ride of Silence, because it is coming up real soon, and I want to make sure that people understand what this is all about, because I think it's a really, really good thing, and it started from a person who was actually a friend of a person who was hit by a motorized vehicle and killed, and it was designed to capture and collect and analyze the fatal traffic information, and also make people just a little more aware of it and what it's all about. So in the United States, there are a number of locations. I am not seeing ours listed here in Connecticut right now. Maybe this was from last year. Not really sure. Into 2026. I'll have to check with Kevin and make sure that he got us listed and posted there. But we are definitely doing this. And let's just click on CT right here and see what we got. Kevin Mahan, here it is. 3 miles. Prior to the event, we'll be blessing the bikes. Time for comments if someone would like to speak, and then spin through the UConn campus. And there is a contact for Kevin if you want to get a hold of Kevin and find out more about it. So yes, we are in doing this in Mansfield, and it will be coming up soon, because it's National Bike Month. And so there's a lot of I think this is a very good thing. I wish it was even more publicized than it is. We try really hard to get as much information out as we can, so that people will be, you know, paying a little bit closer attention to the fact that, you know, bikes are out there and we need to be more respectful of them. So, but this has been going on since 2012, I believe. So it's been going on for a long time, although I see January of 2007 listed here too. So it is a big event. There's very little time left until we will be having our event. But the Ride of Silence is what it's called, and it is definitely something I hope to see folks out in Mansfield stores. And, you know, come on out and join us. By the way, if you're looking for something to do afterwards, a number of us generally gather for a little food afterwards or whatever. We, you know, participate in going to one of the area restaurants and getting some food and chit-chatting about what we love most, and that is our bicycles. So it's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. Let's see here. Okay, I've got some stuff coming up. We got the Giro coming up. We got a lot of things going up. But I don't want to go quite there yet. I would like to talk a little bit more. This is from Bicycle Retail and Industry News. Industry-supported Hawaii e-bike hill advancing towards passage. So New Jersey, they're getting a lot of abuse from me. New Jersey's passage of a bill requiring licensing, registration, and insurance for low-speed e-bikes and high-speed e-motos raised concern among the industry that other states would follow. First of all, high-speed motos and low-speed e-bikes are two completely different animals. Not animals at all. They're actually mechanical. So they are not mechanical animals. But the concern here is that New Jersey has decided that you need to be wearing a motorcycle helmet to ride an e-bike in the state of New Jersey. I don't know if it's well enforced. I have not spoken to anyone in New Jersey about whether they are pushing this real, real hard, but of course, some legislator who knows nothing about bicycles came up with this crazy idea, and they felt that in order for everyone to be safe, that we had to all be wearing motorcycle helmets when we're riding on e-bikes. It's ridiculous. I don't want to talk about it anymore because it just makes me angry. It was House Bill 2021. It adopted a three-class system instead of a okay, so this is House Bill 2021. Hawaii adopted a three-class system instead of altering it like New Jersey did, and creates what People for Bikes call a reasonable regulation for e-bikes. After the State House's passage in March, the bill is now in the Senate and headed for final reading before going to Governor Josh Green for potential signing into law. Last year, Hawaii was close to passing an e-bike bill aimed to update the statewide traffic code to define e-bikes, bicycle safety, and micro-mobility devices, but it was vetoed by Green. Similar to other states, e-motos have become a problem, and the Hawaii Bicycling League Advocacy Director Eduardo Hernandez made a statement on that. They seem to have proliferated while operating in a gray zone, Hernandez said. The Honolulu Traffic Division Major James Stater, a now retired traffic commander at the Honolulu Police Department, is on record noting the appearance of these devices as early as 2021. We're going to work closely with him and HPD in advancing legislation. So The e-bike thing is just such a crazy thing because, you know, it's a speed thing. Back in the day, back when we went back to our original gas crisis, way, way back in the times of the 70s, I think, when we had gas lines. Anyone remember gas lines? Or is no one out there who is listening as old as I am? Anyway, we had gas lines. It was really entertaining if you were a bike rider because you could ride your bike down the road and you would see these lines going into gas stations. Even day, odd day, by your plate number, believe it or not, is the way it was determined as to whether you could fill your tank or not. And the lines were going for miles past gas stations for people just lining up to fill their tanks up. It was insanity. It was just absolutely insanity. There was an embargo on oil, and it was great. Sorry if you are a person who is completely attached to your motorized vehicle, but it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. That's why I see the prices of gas going up, and my smile just gets bigger and bigger because it's only going to make people think twice about driving their car as much. And two things there. You drive your car only for what's necessary versus driving your car for, you know, quickie trips back and forth because you forgot something or whatever. You start thinking more clearly about how to use a motorized vehicle, so therefore the roads are less congested, and you you know, maybe consider riding a bike instead, which is not a bad thing at all. So the Hawaii bill is going to address unsafe riding behaviors, making wheelies and other stunts illegal. Oh, God. I'm not doing a wheelie on an e-bike. It also calls for a one-time $30 registration fee that helps support bike infrastructure and education. That's a little shaky. That fee has long been required. Hernandez said his group lobbied against requests for an annual registration, licensing, and insurance that were written into other bills. Hawaii's got something going on. We'll keep our eyes on this because I'm sure it will show up again on my list of information here. The Despite the one-time $30 registration, which People for Bikes does not support, we regard this as a really good bill, the advocacy group told Bicycle Retail and Industry News, and added the bill includes an age 16 requirement for users of Class 2 and 3 e-bikes in line with its model e-bike legislation. Oh boy. Okay, well, that's an ugly little can of worms we're opening there. We'll see exactly what happens here. You know, making everyone register their bicycle is a little concerning to me. There are people that are financially challenged, and the bicycle is their way of transporting themselves, and to ask them for another $30 and to register their bike tends to fall into that gray area of violation of human rights. And also, you know, it's just, you know, they maybe just don't have $30. And if the folks that are legislating all this don't understand that, then maybe they need to spend a day on the street on a bicycle talking to people, because that's a tough subject. That's a really, really tough subject, and it should be explored. So anyway, we're going to bounce away from Bicycle Retailer here, and we are going to go on to bicycle racing. And I've just got a little bit of time left here to talk about this, but there's all sorts of fun stuff going on. First of all, we had the results from the Tour of Romandy Stage 5. Tadej Pogačar takes win number 4 and confirms the GC win. Tadej is just smoking right now, still, just won a 5-day stage race. There were other very big top riders there, and Tadej again made some amazing moves and solos, and oh god, it's just kind of crazy. There's interesting thing here. I didn't look into this, but it says jury and fines. Tour de Romandie 2026 update stage 5. Tadej Pogačar's Domestique receives yellow card during breakaway chase. I wonder what he did. Well, I don't have time for that today, so I won't be able to talk about that. But anyway, stage 5 became a tactical race briefly, as Pogačar would not attack, but instead other figures in the top 10 would make their moves. But Lipowicz's second serious move saw only Pogačar follow and the rest of the field fall behind, and their own personal GC battles. So it was won overall by Tadej Pogačar, and Florian Lipowicz, and then Primo Roglic for third place. So yeah, yep, yeah, Tadej is still on fire at the moment, and just in time, because here comes the Giro. Yes, the Giro d'Italia, and it will be coming very soon here. It's the 8th of this month, is that correct? Wait, I have that information right here. So the Giro is, let's see, May 8th, yes, Friday, May 8th to Sunday, May 31st is the Giro d'Italia. And certainly one of my favorite races. I love watching it. I love if not anything else, just the Italian, the countryside, the beauty of it. It's gorgeous. It's just a beautiful thing to watch. And of course, they have some of the more interesting mountains you've ever seen when it comes to when it comes to Italy. They've got some crazy stuff, but there's just all sorts of, you know, great climbs, great scenery. The route is, let's see here, route, climbs. What do we got here? Let's go to climbs, because climbs are always the interesting thing. There will be, let's see, there's a bunch of them here. On the 15th, the 16th, the 17th, and the 20th, there's some very major climbs involved. The 22nd, 23rd, 26th, and 27th, also major climbing events. So those are highlighted. If you go to girodeitalia.it, you can look at their website and see exactly what they've got to offer. It's going to be very, very interesting. It's always an entertaining race. So you can get the whole breakdown. It tells you the difficulties of the different stages as we go along. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's definitely going to be a whole lot of fun. So I can't wait. It's coming up this weekend. Coming up, we're going to start on Friday, and we will be diving right into the Giro d'Italia. Can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. So that should be interesting. And let's see. I'm going to make a quick mention about the teenage prodigy Paul Sessas is going to make his Tour de France debut this July. He's the 19-year-old from Lyon who is already being hyped as a successor to Bernard Hinault, the last French winner of the Tour de France. Yeah, the French get pretty excited when they see somebody this good all of a sudden out there and making his mark. And he is as strong as Tadej Pogačar is. We saw that in a stage race recently, one of the classic races. He just doesn't quite have the stamina that Tadej has, but he has the snap, he has the power. It's going to be very interesting. He will be the youngest rider at the race in 89 years. So here we go. He's only in his first season as a professional rider and has never ridden a Grand Tour or any stage race longer than 8 days. He has made waves with some remarkable performances, winning the Itzulia Basque Country Stage race in April and La Flèche in Wallon, as well as finishing second only behind Tadej Pogačar in the Strada Bianca and the Liège-Bastogne-Liège. He's the real deal. He's fun to watch. We'll see. He said his biggest dream is to win the Tour de France. And this year's Tour de France starts in Barcelona on July 4th and finishes in Paris on July 26th. So we're going to keep our eyes on that. And then we are going to move up to finishing points because we are there. Events, of course, Ride the East is coming up on May 16th, which is a rail trail ride and a East Coast Greenway Alliance Trust for Public Land. And you'll find that listed on Bike Reg and other various places, including greenway.org. The Giro I just talked about, the Ride of Silence we've already talked about. So, and then of course, Tour de France is coming up soon. Finishing points, give us your opinion. You ready to park the car yet? How much does the price of gas have to go to before you decide that the bicycle is a better option? I want that number. I want results here. You can feel free to comment, please. And let's just remember, bicycling is freedom. Life is better for everyone when more people ride bikes. Cycling is an easier and safer option for more people because when more people bike, people are happier, healthier, and communities are safer and friendlier. And guess what? Our planet is greener. Together, we can help more people understand the joy of bicycling. I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic and dangerous roads and the price of gas and lack of places to safely ride and do your part. Go to a town meeting. Make a point. Make yourself known. Bring positive responses, not negative criticism. Okay? And do the pedal and run challenge. Take it. You know, park your car one day. Ride your bike instead. You're gonna surprise yourself. I'm telling you. Anyway, please remember, if you're riding your bike or you're driving your car, Please be safe and be kind. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can leave a comment below. If you're listening on audio file, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, rubber side down, wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!